everyone, and thanks for listening to Lit Radio Podcast. I'm Thea. Today, I'm joined by one of Lit's best-selling authors, Dan White. We will talk about his latest title, The Smart Advertising Book, How to Deliver Advertising That Grows Your Brand. Dan is a trainer and consultant who has worked in the marketing and branding sector for over 30 years. He was previously head of expertise and MD of corporate development at Kantar. He's the author of the Soft Skills book, the Smart Marketing book, and the Smart Branding book. The Smart Advertising book presents a summary of all the latest evidence and thinking about successful advertising in a clear, accessible way, with inspiring examples and the author's trademark frameworks, analogies, and hand-drawn illustrations. Well, hello, Dan. It's a great pleasure to have you with us today to speak about all things advertising because of course, your new book, The Smart Advertising Book. So first of all, could you tell us why you decided to write it?
Yeah, of course. Well, it was to complete a trilogy, really. I started off my career focusing on advertising research, in fact, and I worked at a company called Millward Brown, which specialised in that area. So for the first 10 years of my career, I did a lot of advertising research and built up a lot of understanding about that topic. Before I then moved into brand, and then after that into marketing. And my first two books were about marketing and then brand. And so this is to finish the set, really.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's going to be a very nice set with all the three books together. But Dan, what's the purpose of advertising and then how does it build brands?
Well, I mean, ultimately, advertising is about selling more products. Even if it doesn't work, you know, immediately, it can work in the long term. But ultimately, it's always about selling. And in fact, probably the best return you can get from advertising is by using it to make your brand really famous for something or famous as a brand within the category so that, you know, when people need or want to buy the category, then your brand is the one that comes to their mind, ideally first and most powerfully. And that's what brand building is all about, really. It's about making your brand really famous so that when people need to buy a category or want to buy a category, your brand is the one that comes powerfully to their mind, comes to their mind first. And that increases the chances of your brand being chosen by a long way.
Absolutely. And I think it's a great achievement if you can make your brand pop up in people's minds. But ultimately, most of the times, advertising and branding comes down to budget. So how can brands set their media budget right to make sure that they're spending on the right type of advertising or media?
And then the right amount, yeah. It's quite hard, actually, to determine how much you should or shouldn't be spending on advertising. And it depends on a lot on your circumstances, you know, whether you've already established good distribution or not. And it depends on how good your product is, etc. But there is usually a sweet spot in terms of how much to spend. If you spend too little on advertising, you tend not to be very good at it. You know, you don't get much practice and you don't get a good return. And then quite often, but if you spend between, say, roughly 5 or 10% of your turnover on advertising, that's quite often where you get the maximum return. But you can also get a good return if you spend more than that. The trouble is, if you spend too much, and you need to do analysis, you know, to determine how much is too much, but you get to a point where you're spending on advertising, but you're not getting that back. The reason for that is because the more you spend, each additional dollar you spend doesn't necessarily have much incremental effect. It's called diminishing returns, and it's a widely established phenomenon. So in other words, there's a sweet spot, but exactly how much that is will vary on depending on a lot of things.
Definitely. But then we've seen that in the recent past, a lot of brands, they have been using earned media as a way to promote and advertise. So, which type of media, paid or earned, do you find to be more effective for brands nowadays?
Now, this one does depend a lot on your brand. I mean, the brands that tend to do well from earned media are the ones that are exceptionally good. You know, if your brand offers a product or service delivery that is exceptional or completely different and special in some way, well, for a start, it tends to generate a lot of earned media, a lot of word of mouth. But also, you know, that word of mouth can therefore be leveraged, to get more and more customers, and it also means you've got a good product to sell. So earned media, if you have something exceptional, most brands really need to rely on paid media, and so long as they have a reasonable product, then paid media should give them a good return, and it's kind of guaranteed. You know, if you pay enough, you will get a certain amount of exposure compared to earned media, where you're not guaranteed it. You know, there's a lot you can't control, because it's like you say, it's word of mouth. It's what other people want to say about you, and they may or may not do that. So it's more of a banker. But we also should also talk about owned media as well, because sometimes that's overlooked. And the good thing about owned media, and by owned media we mean, things like your packaging, your website, your store itself, if you're a retailer, etc. Often advertising through those channels can be very cost effective, because you own them. You don't have to pay for that exposure. You will get it anyway. So the costs are low, and therefore it's worth putting some effort into maximizing what you get from those as well.
Absolutely. But can you think of any examples of earned media that's worked really well, just to give our listeners an example of what that might look like?
Well, there's a kind of extreme case that I've been trying to I've been thinking about recently, which is the product itself. So you think about Nike, it's a very successful brand. So obviously a lot of people wear Nike shoes. And they have used the Nike swoosh logo consistently across all their shoes for decades. Which means that whenever if you're kind of like a London commuter, for example, and you're on the tube and you're on the street, you're going to see the Nike swoosh many, many, many times. I tried to estimate how many times that would be, and it's very hard to do. And my guess is it's something crazy like 200,000 times you will see the swoosh in a year if you commute in London. And although just seeing a logo it's not a powerful experience, but it's free. You don't have to do anything apart from consistently use that logo on all your shoes. And that kind of thinking can be very powerful. At the very least, it says, hey, this brand is popular, and popularity can be very powerful. So that's just one example of owned media. But any kind of packaging is also owned media, or your website.
Fantastic. Well, and really 200,000 times seeing the
Well,
swoosh.
please don't take that as an exact figure. I had to do some crazy calculations to get there, and I actually counted how many times I saw the brand on each of my commutes in London for a while. So it's very, very approximate, but it's just to illustrate. It's a large number.
Yeah, of course, I understand that, but it's still a huge number, even if it's a bit less than that. But yeah, that's a great
Exactly.
example. Thanks for sharing, Dan. And now I would like to talk with you about some new kind of advertising that has been getting more popular in the past few years, and that's influencer advertising. So, what's your take on that?
Yeah.
Is it actually that effective?
Yeah, I think it really can be. And this is a good example about how brands need to kind of be aware of what audiences are doing. Who are people listening to? What content are people consuming? And it's really clear that over recent years, there are the audiences achieved by influencers are growing and growing. You know, some of the biggest influencers around the world have millions and millions of followers who look at their content regularly. So that's always important. Reach has always been important, always will be. So if using influencers is a good way to reach, your target, then that's great. And actually, you could be quite clever in using influencers if you find a set of influencers who overlap with your target audience. Influencers tend to be popular amongst certain types of people, and that's brilliant for marketing because you can pick the ones that are relevant for your brand. So there's a good targeting reason. And then the third reason is about how persuasive it is. You know, we know that advertising isn't very credible, you know, traditional advertising, I mean. But if you hear someone that you respect and admire talking about a product enthusiastically, you are much more likely to act on that and to try the product, you know, than traditional advertising. So again, it can be very effective. So I think altogether, there's a important opportunity for a lot of brands, yes.
Definitely. And I think it has to do with the fact that a lot of influencers, they've managed to build a community of people that really trust them, which is not always the case with most brands. So yeah, it's a very interesting new way of advertising your products.
Exactly. And they're seen as semi-independent or independent, you know? And people probably know that influencers are paid or get free products, you know, so that they talk about them. But they trust these people, so if they don't like them, the influencer wouldn't say nice things about them. I mean, maybe that's naive, but I think that's the whole point. They, like you said, they trust them, so they really will listen if they say that they think a product is a good one.
Absolutely. No, yeah, it's a very interesting phenomenon. But now, Dan, I would like to speak about how to create a good ad, and then that usually requires quite a lot of creativity. So have you got any tips on how to come up with a creative framework for an ad that actually works?
Well, the thing about creativity is it's hard to engineer. It's hard to guarantee, very hard. And sometimes it just strikes when it strikes, you know? but I think there are definitely things you can do as a brand to maximize the chances of it happening and leverage it well if it does. So I guess there are three things. I mean, one is working with the right partners. You want to choose maybe a creative agency that has a really, really good track record at delivering great ideas for other brands in the past. And when I say ideas, I don't mean one-off ads that have worked well, but creative ideas, platforms that have inspired the agencies involved to come up with lots of good ads in like a series, all around the same theme, but you know, something that really captures the imagination of the public. So I think the right agency is important. Another thing you can do is obviously use research. That's where I started in my career, market research, particularly qualitative research can be helpful because it allows you to really listen to consumers, talk about their lives, talk about how they, you know, the relationship with the category. And sometimes from that research, you can come up with insights, little ideas about people's lives that you could leverage to create powerful advertising. So that's the other thing, is research. And I guess the third way is to experiment. So to try out lots of different ads, maybe, you know, with lots of different ideas behind them, and see which ones, you obviously have to measure this, but see which ones work best and understand why. And if you understand why certain ads and ideas have been really effective, you can replicate that again and again and again.
Yeah, those are some great tips. And interestingly, in the book, you also discuss the power of humor when it comes to advertising. So why is that important?
Well, I mean, it's not essential. I mean, humor is just one way that you can, approach you can use to try and make your advertising more effective. But it is a particularly good one. And when you look at the databases, you know, ads that are intended to be humorous tend to do better on average than ones that aren't. There is scientific evidence for why this should be. And that's that when, think about humor is when people get the humor, they understand it, the moment when they get what's going on, they get the joke if it's that kind of humour. It creates quite a powerful sense of reward. And that reward makes that moment much more memorable than, you know, all the other moments in your life, which are by definition quite normal and non-memorable. So if you use humour in your ad to make a moment memorable, so long as the humour is connected with the brand, then that will help the brand to build, you know, to make the brand more memorable, and not just more memorable, but associate it with a positive, rewarding feeling, which is also helpful, you know, in terms of persuading people to making people want to buy your brand. So, you know, that's why I think it can be so effective. It's all about memorability, essentially. And I think there are so many examples of brands that have used humor in an effective way, I think.
Yeah, there are definitely some great examples, even in the book, you cover some of them. But then you spoke about measuring the impact of an ad to decide whether the creative framework that you came up with is effective. But how can we measure the impact of an ad?
Well, there are plenty of techniques for doing this, and that they typically fall into two groups. I mean, there's a group of pre-testing techniques you can use, and that they're designed to kind of predict how effective your advertising is going to be before you spend a lot of money, you know, in media on it. Now, there's a lot of people who are for the idea of pre-testing, and there are a lot of people who are against it. I believe that if you use it in a sensitive and constructive way, then it can be very helpful, but it could also be damaging if you don't, because you're trying to predict something in a kind of artificial way, and it doesn't always reflect what will happen in reality. But there are definitely certain steers you can get from showing people the advertising and engaging their response and asking about their response. Essentially, you want something that lights, fires people's imagination. And if people's eyes light up and they smile and they laugh, or they, you know, you can tell that they are engaged with what they see, that's always a good sign. It means they're much more likely to remember it. Whereas there's plenty of advertising that if you show it to people, they just switch off, like they will in real life, because it's just not that interesting. And I think that's the key. So you can, I think, anticipate whether an ad will be effective or not to some extent before you use it. And then, of course, you've got measurement techniques once you have started using your advertising to see what's happening. And you either want to look at whether brand perceptions have increased because of the use of your exposure to your advertising, or better still, of course, whether or not it's actually affected people's purchase behavior. But a combination of the two is usually the best, I think.
No, definitely. Thanks for sharing those ideas and tips. But now let's talk about some ads that worked really well in the recent years. Could you give us some examples of advertising that really caught your attention and you think is a great example for anyone working in advertising?
Well, I've got a couple, and they're both from the same category. And I think they're quite clever, really, in the sense, well, not, they're clever in the sense that they understand how to make something memorable and to stick in your mind. And as we've talked about earlier, that memorability is key, because you want advertising to make your brand famous and to help it come to mind when people think about buying the category, right? That's one of the most powerful things you can do with advertising. So, and I know this is polarizing, but the Domino's campaign with the yodeling, the Domino hoo-hoo, is, I think, really, really good. And also there was an IPA effectiveness paper submitted by Domino's that kind of proves how effective it has been. So there is strong evidence that it works. And I think it's because they've just created something that just lifts awareness of the brand name and associates it with all sorts of moments. When you might want a fast food, you know, it's just brilliant. And I think McDonald's, with the advertising with the famous Ferris Bueller soundtrack. Sorry, Taya, you're far too young to remember Ferris Bueller's Day Off, I'm sure, but it's got that soundtrack that they use with the eyebrows going up, you know, raising when people are thinking about, oh, is this a time for a McDonald's? Now that's clever because they're associating a need, a time, a moment with the brand. The eyebrows kind of resemble the golden arches to some extent, and the soundtrack emphasizes that. So you're just making this moment memorable, and you're branding it as McDonald's. It's just genius, total genius. And people do underestimate the power of just being memorable and using what are called, you know, these distinctive brand assets. You know, like the yodel or the eyebrow raising with the sound effect. These little mnemonics can be incredibly powerful for just keeping your brand salient. So you hear words like salience or mental availability as being important properties of brands. And I think those are good examples of ads that build that property.
Absolutely. Here, if I can give an example of, have you watched the recent Uber Eats ad with Victoria and David Beckham, which I thought was brilliant?
Exactly. Yeah. Wonderful. Yeah, there's actually a lot of great advertising out there, but there's also a lot of awful advertising out there. And I think the more we talk about what makes advertising effective, the better, because then people go, oh, okay, that's how to harness the creativity, you know? And that's what the Smart Advertising book is all about, trying to raise people's awareness of how to develop and understand and identify strong advertising.
Absolutely. Well, thanks for sharing those examples. They were great. And finally, Dan, I have one last question, and hopefully that will help make this podcast episode very helpful for anyone listening to us today. So, do you see any new emerging trends in advertising that we should be aware of as advertisers?
Well, you won't be surprised to hear that the emerging trend is related to AI, I think. There was a fabulous paper from the University of Hamburg just from last year, where they compared human-generated advertising with AI-generated advertising that had been trained by humans and using feedback from actual ads and ad effectiveness. And after the training, the AI-generated advertising consistently outperformed the human-generated advertising, which of course is incredibly scary for anyone in the industry. Although you could argue it's very positive for any brand owners who want to use this new technology. But so that's very important. And I think that goes back to what I just said about the fact that there is a lot of average or poor advertising out there. And if you can use AI to raise the floor of advertising standards, that's probably not a bad thing. But I think the thing to point out is we're still talking about, you know, typical advertising. The advertising that is most effective tends to be highly original, disruptive, unique, special. Something that people have never seen before. If you have an ad and it's something people have never experienced before, the levels of attention and engagement you get are off the scale, and those are the ones that can really drive exceptional brand success. So even if AI is going to play a role in creating advertising in future, it'll probably be creating okay ads to good ads. But if you want to really succeed, you'll need originality, and that's something that AI, at the moment anyway, just can't do by definition. Originality is something humans are still by far superior at.
Well, I think that's a great note to end the podcast on. So thanks for that, Dan, and thank you for your time today speaking with me. It was a great conversation about all things advertising. And of course, I would encourage our listeners to grab a copy of your new book, The Smart Advertising Book, and read more about your tips and guidance, and also see your unique hand-drawn illustrations. So thanks very much again, Dan.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you so much for joining us today. Make sure you keep an eye on our social media at Lit Publishing on LinkedIn, X, Instagram, TikTok, and Facebook for more information about new books and podcasts with thought leaders. See you next time on Lit Radio Podcast.